Hello, beautiful people. What's happening? What's going on? Welcome to another New Perceptions podcast. Today's episode is with my beautiful, incredible, wonderful queen of a partner, Ella Grace Denton. She has graced us with her presence for a second time on this podcast, which is really, really exciting. And as you can see by the title of this podcast, we each sort of pick out five different things that we've each learned from being together over this last year. We're approaching our first year anniversary. So we sat this morning and we wrote them down. Then we came together to do this podcast. And it was really, really fun, really insightful, and a nice sort of verbal process for me. And also nice to hear the things that Ella's been learning from me. And of course, nice to share the things that I've been learning from her. And we go into things and talk about things like helping each other go through difficult times, and how we've learned to do that in a way that's supportive of each other, and how we've learned how not to be codependent with each other. We talked about that, and how we're both on our separate journeys, and respecting each other's separate journeys and coming together. We talk about love. We talk about commitment to ourselves, to our higher selves before the relationship, and bringing that into the relationship as commitment. Talk about being sensitive and empathetic and celebrating that. We talk about expressing our truths and communicating effectively, and how we've learned that that can sort of bring up a bit of a reaction from our inner child sometimes, and to expect that. Talking about healthy relationships in terms of not loving each other passively or from a distance. Yeah, we dive into all sorts of different bits and pieces, and I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. But a piece of news: new merchandise is dropping next week. There's a new design coming out. It's really fucking cool. I cannot wait to see it on a t-shirt and have it on my back. That is dropping next week, so stay tuned to my Instagram at Mr. Ben Brown for ways to get involved and support me in this mission. I'm also going to be, you'll be thankful to hear, being a little bit more consistent and planned with this New Perceptions podcast. We just got back from Africa Burn, so there's all sorts of lessons that I need to put down onto a podcast that's going to be separate from this one. What else? I think that's about it. So welcome to this podcast. Thank you so much, Ella, for joining us and bringing so much insight into not just my life, but also sharing on this podcast with you guys. I hope you get something from it. Again, if you enjoy this podcast, please do give it a rating in whatever the podcast app is that you're using. It really, really helps me. And also send me your feedback on Instagram stories. Tag me in that shit. I want to see what you guys think about these specific episodes. And that's all. Without further ado, here's me and Ella on a podcast. Enjoy. What's up? What's up, everybody? What's happening? What's going on? Welcome to my podcast, New Perceptions, with me, your host, Ben Brown. And today we have the most special of all special guests in for a second round, Ella Grace Denton, my partner.
Ding, 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 ding. Back in the ring.
Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me, babe.
Welcome back to my podcast. Thank you for joining me on this little adventure, audible adventure.
Very excited.
Today's topic, we just kind of plucked it out of the air this morning.
Yeah, we've been thinking about doing one. I mean, Ben had been for a while being like, let's do another podcast episode together. And I was very keen. And then we're thinking like, what could we do? We could do like a Q&A, or I don't know. There was loads of different things we could do. And then Ben remembered
that in like a week from now, we'll have been dating for a year.
Which is really crazy.
So yeah, I was thinking, okay, well, that's flown by. I don't know about you, but it doesn't feel like a whole year.
No way.
It's gone really quickly. And secondly, I was thinking, well, I think that's quite a landmark amount of time. It's quite an achievement, I think.
especially considering that like neither of us came into this ready for this relationship or looking for this relationship, and it's totally like turned our lives upside down in the best possible way for me anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think we were talking and we were like, okay, well, I was like, why don't we choose our like five top things that we've learned from this relationship over the last year, and share them with each other and share them with you guys.
We started with 10 and we whittled it down to 5. Like, there are lots of things obviously that we've been learning from each other and teaching each other, and we continue of course to do so, and this feels like the first chapter of many, many, many chapters that we're going to be spending together and learning from each other in those chapters. But the first year is always, I think, like a test in a sense. Like, it's, if you can make it through the first year, you're doing pretty good. So yeah, here's, we're going to go through, we've each written down 5 things that we've learned from each other.
And we don't know what's on each other's lists. So no. It'll be actually quite interesting to see if there's like similar things on each other's lists.
Yeah. I've actually written down way more than 5. And I've like picked out a few that are like the better ones. Looking at my list.
Sorry.
Sneaky.
Sorry.
Okay. So let's give it a go. Do you want me to go first or should you start?
Podcast.
Okay, I'll go first. Okay, so the first thing I wrote down, number one, one of the main things that you've taught me very early on is that there is far more to life than just doing things and identifying with the outcome of those things that you're doing. Like,
that's so
one of the main things that you've taught me, because, and I continue to learn that same lesson over and over, is that you can't be happy identifying yourself with the outcomes of the things that you just do, like your doings, you know?
That's so interesting. I would have never have guessed that.
Never guessed that.
So one. Like, for example, do you think your like kayaking played a role in that, in terms of at a young age having something that it was like all or nothing?
Totally. Yeah. Everything, it seems, until last year, about this time last year, was focused on like, okay, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? And I would identify myself with those things that I do, and even more so sometimes with the results of those things. So for kayaking for me is something that I can remember doing since the dawn of time, and it just snowballed into a professional situation for me, where I did nothing if it didn't involve me going faster in a kayak. And then if I didn't go fast or didn't win, then it would kind of become me. The result would become, I'd become the result, you know?
Yeah. And I've watched that like a few times. I remember when we first met, watching how impacted you were, whether it was like a good outcome or a bad outcome. It could be something really small, like even if we went camping and you'd brought all the stuff or you'd mm-hmm. missed a couple things, how much that would affect your feelings about yourself, like your self-esteem.
Because totally. I'd identify myself as someone who goes camping.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a camper, and how well that goes down is part of who I feel like I used to be, sort of.
And I'm sure that's like a beneficial thing on some level, because it gives you that drive to succeed and to do things right. But when like your whole self-worth relies on whether mm-hmm. you do the thing right, I think it can be super damaging. Or if I live my life like that, like, we would have had many more self-esteem breakdowns than we already had. So
yeah. No, I think, yeah, so that's kind of my first thing that really sprung to mind. And it was one of the biggest things that you taught me is, yeah, just to know that there's far more to life than just what we do, you know?
I love that, baby.
Okay, your turn.
Okay, my number one, actually, I'm going to go for my number two first. I said that personal freedom and individuality is a big part of a healthy relationship. And so that we are two individuals on a journey together, rather than just like, well, obviously a unit, because we're two individuals choosing to go on that journey together. But in my past relationships, I like mesh with the person I'm with, and their well-being, like whether they're happy or sad, really impacts mine. And obviously, if you're sad, I'm not happy because I want you to be happy. But
for sure.
I'm also okay with you going through that and learning to like separate me from you has been really interesting.
Super important.
Yeah.
Super important. Yeah, I think that's a key factor in the longevity of a relationship, like whether or not it is sustainable is kind of dependent on how much you can actually remove yourself from the other person's pain in order to maintain your own journey and therefore
look after them.
If we're both very empathetic people
and both very feely people, so and especially with the last year, which has been like a whip, like there's been a lot of emotional ups and downs for us in our first year together, and I think I had to learn how to separate from your emotional pain or what you were going through to be able to like just help you through
actually
it,
whether that was
that was just like making you a cup of tea or like whatever, cleaning the flat or whatever.
Totally. And that's something you're teaching me is especially at the moment where things are going to be coming up for us throughout our whole lives. Sometimes it's really intense and sometimes we have to delve really hard into healing just to make it through a section of your life. But maintaining in your mind, knowing that we're both two individuals on two individual journeys that bring our journeys together, that allows us to have a different sort of perspective on what's happening in the other person's life and firstly check whether it's me that's having that impact. If there's something going on for you that's coming up, just checking firstly that it's not me that's making that come up, and then not attaching myself to it, and actually feeling the same feelings as you really deeply, and then actually being completely useless to you.
Yeah, I've done that. Like in one of my past relationships, the person I was with was very depressed. I kind of think I took on that depression, and like they didn't know where they were going in their life next, and I was decided that I also didn't know where I was going in my life next, so we just kind of wallowed together and it got quite toxic. And it wasn't that we didn't love each other, I just think we didn't know how to love each other in a healthy way, because when you're young, love is so all-consuming that it's hard to separate yourself. And also there's a lot of like attachment involved in the way that, for example, Ben and I have like, I'd say we have a lot of very similar interests, but also a lot of very different interests. And so I'm heading off in June for a month to go on like a retreat, chanting, like doing all this kind of like weird kooky stuff that I'm really into. And it's cool to have a partner, because I've often been really judged for the things I'm into, or the other person's like, I don't understand what you're into, so I don't want to be with you, because like we're not into the same music or we're not into the same things. And what's so beautiful for me in this relationship is the level of like respect you have for me and what I'm doing, and just like interest in it. Like it doesn't mean that you have to be love it as much as I love it, because maybe it doesn't speak to you in the same way.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean also if I don't love it as much as you love it, it doesn't necessarily mean that like, oh shit, this is the end.
Yeah,
this
no.
This is it. We're not both into exactly the same things anymore.
And we can't do them. Like, it's cool. Like, I love that totally I can, cool. Like, I'm quite an independent person. And so I love that, like, I can go and have my time doing that. And of course, I'm going to miss you loads. But there's something even more beautiful about going and the other person being like, go do your thing.
I'm like, which, go.
Yeah,
go on your
so
mission.
Supportive.
You know exactly what you need. That's the one thing I know about you, is that you know what you need. And yeah. I mean, I'm also learning that when I do join in with some of these quirky alternative methods, lifestyles and methods of healing and a lot of the stuff that you've been teaching me and I've been delving into over the last 6 months especially, I'm like, holy shit, this stuff works, guys. It works.
Yeah, guys, there's a reason really I'm works. Into all this weird stuff, I swear.
Yeah, it kind of works. So then, yeah, I get invited, of course, onto all sorts of strange missions.
Yeah, I'm like, baby, you can always come with me, but I'm just gonna lay out to you how weird and different this is gonna be.
Yeah, no, I'm keen for weird and different, but also I'm sure whilst you're chanting in a forest somewhere on a retreat, I'm gonna be doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing on my mission at exactly the same time, which might not necessarily, and it's actually quite unlikely to look like chanting in a forest somewhere. I've got so many other things that I need to be missioning and doing, which are also very healing and part of my inner journey and doing my inner work, but it just doesn't look exactly the same as yours right now.
But that's perfect.
And that's perfect.
Like, that's for everyone. All of our stuff looks different. And by you doing the things that you need to do and that feel good for you, and me doing things that I need to do, we can support each other better because we're both happy and fulfilled. And our cups are both filled individually.
That segues really nicely to my next one. Yeah.
What's your next one?
My next one is...
excuse my tea slurping.
Slurp that tea, baby. People love it.
It's like ASMR.
Yeah. Oh, gross. A healthy relationship does not involve one person being dependent upon receiving love from the other. It's pretty like a simple, basic version of what you just said. But yeah. Basically not being codependent and not having to... this is what I've learned from you anyway, is that if I'm in a situation where I'm actually craving attention and affection and the love that I know that you can give me and that I can receive from you, as soon as I cuddle up and have a nice cuddle, it's like diving deep into an ocean of love, and it feels so great. It's like getting into a warm bath on a cold day. It's so nice. But too much of that without sort of checking why I'm coming back and still like needing affection without it being checked and like having awareness of it actually isn't particularly helpful to my individual journey or yours and vice versa. So
100%.
We're both here to give each other as much love as we need, but sometimes that doesn't look like being super dependent. So it's kind of about checking in with each other and being like, you sure you're definitely not dependent on me at the moment?
100%. And also it's like, for the other person, like, it's not always like a healthy energy exchange if one person is, which I get sometimes, I feel really needy and I want love, but Ben's also got like a lot on his plate, and it becomes like you can start to resent the other person because of how much they're taking from you, and then you feel weird because you're like, why am I not wanting to cuddle, or why am I not wanting to do this even though I love that person? And sometimes it's just because, like, whether Ben does it for me or I do it for Ben, you're babysitting their pain. And so it's like just being really aware of that. And it's like, we all do it and it's a beautiful thing, but it's definitely, like you said, just checking in, like, whether the reason you're constantly going in for those cuddles or that love is you're looking to like avoid something that's coming up in yourself that you're missing, like a level of self-love.
And having an awareness around that is the key. Yeah. But when you go away for a month to the woods to go chant and I'm left wanting because I don't have like the love that I've become dependent upon, that's not a healthy relationship.
No.
And something that I'm working on personally a lot now going forwards actually is learning to find that love in myself first, for two reasons. Firstly, because for the reason we just said, that's what a healthy relationship looks like. Me being able to take care of myself in terms of like tell myself the things I need to hear and give myself the care that I feel like I need. And give myself permission to do those things as well, which kind of goes against the grain of my old, like, just work hard, push through. If you were to go away and then say, like, I haven't got myself into a routine or established a healthy, loving relationship with myself, then I'm going to end up resenting you going away, which is then resenting you doing what you need to do, which is not a healthy relationship either.
So that's where like dependency can become tricky, I think. And like, I want to say we've all been there. I've definitely been there.
Totally.
In relationships where I feel I need the other person. Yeah, it's like, it's so normal. But I think just to keep it checked in a loving way is important. Especially when you're in such a time of growth in your life. Like, I'm we're both, I think, about to start really big new journeys for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And like, basically, we went to see, there's an amazing woman called Tenzin. Do you mind if I bring up Tenzin?
Of course. No, I love Tenzin.
Okay. So Tenzin is a, I don't even know what to call her. She's like, I think, is she like 60? She a bit older?
I think she's like 70. She looks like she's 40. Like,
yeah. Okay. So she, anyway, Tenzin is this oracle. Mm. They call her an oracle, but she's basically like this.
She does readings.
She does readings. I don't know. I don't want to use words like psychic or like, because it isn't. She just knows shit. This woman, like, if any of the skeptics out there were to speak to Tenzin, I promise you she would blow your mind.
Yeah, she'd scare the shit out of you like she did with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, my skepticism dissolved pretty quickly with Tenzin, and I was like just listening very attentively to the medicine that I was receiving from her.
Yeah, and like you can, that's the thing, is it's like you're a skeptic until you experience it personally, and you have to experience it personally.
Yeah, it's a mystical experience, isn't it, that you can't explain.
Yeah. So we had a reading. We each had readings anyway. And Ben's reading, they said you guys are going to be apart quite a lot this year.
Mm. Right? Or in the future, generally, over the next few years, as we're both like delving deep into our individual missions, we're going to be spending a fair amount of time apart, is what Tenzin was saying.
And so preparing ourselves for that.
Yeah, we're kind of preparing ourselves for it. But also, we kind of knew that.
Yeah, exactly. What you said, like, I was like, yeah.
Because we're both wildcats.
Yeah, and super, like, all I want is for you to be able to go on your journey and feel and know that I love you so much and that you just have me with you always. And not like when you never feel me missing, you know? Mm-hmm. Because, for example, we are both like quite strong-headed people. And I feel like often in relationships, we end up like fulfilling the role that the society gives us. Mm-hmm. As a woman, I've definitely like, I'm not really into that mold. And I think a lot of women now are kind of breaking out of that, and it doesn't apply so strictly. But I have my own missions. I have my own aims for my life and for what I want to do here. And I know Ben has the same. And so that just means that while we commit to each other, part of that commitment is committing to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. I think the nice thing about when Tenzin was talking about that was that she said, this is exactly how it's supposed to be and everything's going to be perfect. It's not like we're going to go on our separate missions and never meet up again. There is a future for Ben and Ella. But right now, that is kind of dependent on us giving each other independence.
Yeah, and going and doing all the things we need to do to support ourselves, so maybe one day we can have a family and do all the things that we want to do.
And when we first started having this conversation, though, like classic me, I'd just be like, yeah, yeah, cool, yeah, definitely, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then something would come up and I'd realize that I was actually quite triggered by that conversation. And I was like, fuck, like that's not how a relationship looked in my mind. And there's a lot of things that looked a certain way in my mind, in my ideals, that I'm starting to realize over and over again were kind of conditioned into my mind and aren't my ideals or my sort of suggested ways of living life. And certainly how a relationship works has had, for me, has been flipped on its head. So yeah, with that being said, let's pick another one. It's your turn.
This is kind of linked in. I suppose they all kind of melt into each other, but one that I wrote was that true love, in this case, I believe, knows no bounds. So like, whatever you need to be happy, I'm happy for you to receive. Even if it triggers me and it means that I have to work through some stuff for you to go to that space. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of conversation topic, but with anything, like ultimately in life, I just want you to be really happy. And it's scary because it would be painful and I don't think I could do it, but even if that was without me, if that's what you needed to be happy.
Sure.
I really just want you to be happy.
Definitely. I had that down. Something similar to that. Which basically, what I was thinking about a situation where recently I've been met, I don't want to say a pain in the ass, but like difficult or just being more of a challenge to be in a relationship with, or
I don't know about that.
I don't know. But sometimes I think there's a fine line, obviously, between like the unhealthy side of it where you're like being a martyr and you're like, no, I'm going to walk away from this for the best of everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously not a healthy thing to do. And it's definitely something that I have a tendency to do, not in relationships necessarily, but in parts of my life where I'm like, you know what? I'm just so toxic to this situation. I'm just going to walk away and it'll be best for everybody. Like, rather than do that, actually put in the work to make sure that I'm that my inner self is capable of accepting things that you need to do to make you happy, you know? So like not letting my insecurities get in the way of you having a happy and full existence as a human in this wild human experience that we're having, and vice versa. So like you say, you just want me to be happy. Well, I'm super happy, and I hope that also we will be in a situation where we're allowing each other for the rest of our lives to be happy and not getting in each other's way and discovering what that happiness actually looks like.
And when we do get in each other's way, having empathy for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like having empathy for the times. Let's say, for example, I love dancing. Like if I go out to a party, like, and I allow myself to, like, I will dance, especially if there's someone drumming or there's drums. I like lose my mind.
You turn into a wild animal. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm sure, obviously, as a partner of someone who is expressing themselves so freely in that moment, especially as a woman, we're so often sexualized. And if whatever I'm wearing, whatever it might be, there might be a guy or a girl or whoever looking at me. Same with you in other situations. Mm-hmm. But it's learning to not stop me or you or the person having who's expressing themselves. Don't stop them expressing themselves so you don't have to see how people react.
Sure.
It's learning how to like deal with how people react to your loved one expressing themselves.
When you're expressing yourself really freely, it's such a beautiful thing for everybody to behold around you, myself included, obviously. And sometimes it does bring up some insecurities in me because firstly, I'm like, that's not how I express myself. Mm. And then, so I'm like kind of having to sometimes hold myself back from making it my thing even.
Mm-hmm.
But then also know that people around you are, it's a gift for you to present them with your expression, and how they respond to you expressing yourself, whether they sexualize you or are inspired by you or whatever. That's nothing to do with me. And actually very little to do with you as well.
I love that.
And just understanding that is energetically freeing, because you can talk all this talk and it's nice to be able to understand and have awareness that you must express yourself and don't let my insecurities get in the way of you being who you really are and doing what you really want to do and enjoying yourself fully. But when it comes to that actually happening, stuff always comes up. And you have to just check it. It's not like your awareness eliminates it. Your awareness actually brings more light to it, which can be like, can be difficult.
Yeah, it can be jarring, 100%. But I just feel so fortunate to have found somebody to share my life with who is so willing to like turn the mirror kind of at themselves and be aware like of their own stuff, as well as calling me out on whatever my stuff is. I'm obviously 9 years younger than Ben, so I'm 24, which sounds crazy because I never ever think of our age ever.
I never think of our age. I do feel like I'm 33. I think
it's just different. I do think that maybe this is a broad statement, but that women have the opportunity to emotionally mature faster than men.
Totally. And that's a broad statement, but an accurate one.
I think that from me, you learn emotional side of life. And from you, I learn like the practical side of being an adult that I haven't done. And so we both are like learning.
Elsa's like, let me show you how to be. And I'm like, let me show you how to do.
Literally. Literally, this is us.
Yeah. Both actually are just as difficult as each other, it seems.
Yeah. And they come hand in hand. So we learn in adulting. It's happening.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening.
Also, it's a whole bunch of fun. I mean, it's an emotional roller coaster. Don't get me wrong. But we have a lot of fun.
Yeah. And we love each other at the end of the day. Like, whatever happens, whatever. I think also it's nice for me as a very emotional person, a very deep feeling person, to be with someone who's also deep feeling. So, for example, if I'm going to get astrological, which I always do. Sorry, Ben's podcast
Please
listeners.
Do. Don't apologize. They need to get used to it too. I'm loving astrology more and more.
Well, Ben is a Pisces. I am a Scorpio. They're both water signs. And I've never actually been in a relationship with another water sign before. So for me to be with someone who feels as deeply as I do in different ways is like a massive permission slip. And I no longer feel weird. I come from a family, none of which are water signs, mostly fire and then one earth sign. So I've been the big feeler of the family and always felt like there was something really wrong with me. And as I've grown older, I've realized, no, that's just who I am. But to be with somebody who also feels the same way, it's like if Ben has a big cry or if I have a big cry or whatever meltdowns we're having emotionally.
Nobody's like, oh shit, she's doing it again.
Yeah, it's not a big deal though. Like,
it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ask you to pause and hold that thought for a second whilst I say next thing, because it's perfectly in line with this. Okay, so my next thing. My next thing I've learned from you is being sensitive and empathetic should be celebrated and seen as strengths.
Yeah.
Empathy and sensitivity are strengths.
Huge strengths. Mm-hmm. Because from that place,
you can connect with other people. And connecting with people is really easy when everybody's celebrating. You look around you and everybody's super happy. It's super easy to jump straight in on that. But it's really like a much more deep and meaningful connection when you're empathizing and being sensitive with someone in a time where everything is like not great and not being celebrated. And that's when sharing that kind of energy is actually quite taxing. And so you have to be obviously careful with, as an empathetic person, I have to be careful with who I
empathize with.
I mean, I empathize with a lot of people, but I set boundaries with my energy now in terms of not allowing myself to cry and really sink into a low frequency every single time I see something sad.
Yeah. I had like a realization the other day. I was like, you can, as a human being, like see pain and hear pain, like listen to it. But you don't need to feel it like every time.
Yeah.
Because like when we decide start feeling all the world's pain, all the negative things in the world, even like family members' pain, it actually causes us, we're like unable then to do anything about it because we don't hold a frequency that is higher so that person can actually like feed from that space, you know?
I think an empath understands and has felt and recognizes pain in people, but doesn't necessarily immediately latch on and have to share.
You don't have to feel that pain. You can see it and hear it
and understand it and empathize with it and then do something about it if you're not immediately sort of bowled over by their pain. Like I used to be that used to be out of my control. And now I'm learning that I can have control over my energy and over my emotions. And that doesn't mean that I don't ever sink into pain. Quite the opposite, in fact, because I know that I know it's useful and it's a place where healing takes place. But I don't have to like join in on everybody's pain ceremonies, you know.
100%. Yeah. 1,000,000%. I'm so that person. I like move towards people in pain. It's actually why me and Ben met.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Yeah.
Because I saw on Instagram you were going through a hard time. And then I was like, how's it going, brother?
Yeah, that's exactly what you sent me.
I always like lend out a hand or just like check, because I understand pain, and I think a lot of people, especially in the online world, there's not much space for it. So I was like,
well, it's not very monetizable. That's why, like, we've all got this facade to hold up to keep everybody thinking that our life is great, so that the
I think it's
the
gonna
emails
be...
keep coming in and the likes keep being liked, because, like we said earlier, it's much easier for a community to celebrate someone than to like
to feel their pain.
To feel their pain. So if you're being celebrated and feel like your life is a celebration online the whole time, people want to join that party left, right and center.
Because we're all trying to escape our own pain as well. Yeah. So we look for things that feel good, which is fine and great. But like, we do need the balance. Otherwise, no one's ever going to heal. And we all have this, it's like a huge rave where everyone's on drugs and drinking. And they think they're obviously having the best time.
Yeah.
But underneath that one moment of good times, it can be like so much unchecked pain and
lifetimes
and lifetimes of unchecked stuff. And it's like, if we just turn up for the party, the rest of our lives can be pretty sore.
Yeah. And also, the party's way better after you've been through the journey of, and the pain and the sacrifice to get there. It's the same with all things. It's like,
it's
if someone
game.
Had just handed me a gold medal for marathon world championships, then I would have held it and been like, cool, thanks. But when they put it around my neck on the podium, after years and years and years and years of sacrifice and training and pain that I put myself through to get to that moment, it's that gold medal is worth more to me than just a gold medal. You know, it represents the whole journey. So the journey, and the journey is the most important bit. Without it, the medal means nothing.
And I think on this journey, when you start to kind of reflect on yourself, like self-reflect and
have a new perception. T-shirts
basically.
Coming soon.
You find that there's all these people wanting to support you who are doing the same thing. It's like, you're not alone. And we often are scared to go to that place because we think we're alone. I just wanted to pause because I want you to tell the story of when we were in the hippie shop in Cork Bay.
Oh my gosh, yes. I'm so glad that you reminded me about that. Thank you.
That's okay.
I'm actually like going to try really hard to not have a little cry right now, because it was such a big moment for me and my audience, actually being my audience being represented in one guy. So we're in Cork Bay. This is pre-Africa Burn. We just got back from Africa Burn, by the way. We're going to talk about that on another podcast.
100%.
It was wild. So this is pre-Africa Burn, and we're in Cork Bay, which is a little hippie town, a beautiful little spot in Cape Town. Very quiet, lots of like bohemian shops. And of course, I've got like fistfuls of incense sticks and hippie stuff ready for Africa Burn. And then this guy comes over to me and just introduces himself and says, hi. And I thought, okay, cool. Because I bump into maybe, on average, if I'm out and about, 2 or 3 people a day that watch my stuff and come and say hello to me. And I'm always super happy to say what's up. And I really appreciate the love. I really feel the love when people come over and say what's up. So I shake his hand and say, what's up? How are you doing, man? And the first thing he said was like, and he was kind of shaky in his words, and you could see he was kind of nervous. And he just said, dude, I promised myself that if I ever saw you, I'd come and apologize to you, because I've been such a hater to you in the past. And I'm just really, really sorry. And I just want you to know that it wasn't me. It was my insecurities that were speaking. And I was just like, I've never had anybody communicate like that with me face to face before.
And it was so brave. Like, it must
so brave.
Been...
I was so proud of him.
And he was like, I realized that, I think he said something like, I've realized that, like, something along the lines of like, the hate that I was giving you was actually more to do with my own insecurities.
Yeah, yeah. He said it was my insecurities that were speaking. And I just said, thank you so much. Like, I appreciate that. It took me a while. It took me the rest of the day actually to process that. But I just said, thank you so much. And I've got nothing but love for you. And we hugged and then he left. And I was like, after processing it a little bit, I was immediately, I felt relief for him. And in a way that was, like, it was almost like live healing. because I know that he would have really been thanking himself that he actually did that, because now that energy is totally healed. And I didn't even realize that negative energy was there. Like, I know that I've been getting a fair amount of slack from people over the last year because I completely understand why. But never did I ever expect anybody to come and say, I'm actually sorry, and that's healing for him more than it is, as much as it is for me. But for him, what a weight to be lifted off your shoulders, knowing that, like, he must have been carrying that
it's
around.
It's like confession.
Yeah. And of course, like, he wouldn't have wanted to come and apologize to me and make that happen unless he'd actually realized that it was his insecurities and his pain that was triggered by my changes in my lifestyle that I've been going through over the last year. And it obviously is difficult, and it has been difficult for a lot of people, dudes, I think, especially, who have seen me so happy and living this lifestyle, and then to turn around and just say, I think a lot of that was bullshit, guys. It's really difficult because they mold and build their ideals and lifestyles around and ways of doing things around me as a role model. So for me to suddenly turn around and be like, guys, what we're doing is all wrong, is really difficult. And of course, that's going to be triggering a lot of pain. It was an incredible moment in Cork Bay. Thank you for reminding me of sharing that. And
no, that was...
thank you to the young man so much for being so brave.
Yeah, we were all like, whoa. And it's so funny.
We were all blown away for the whole day, weren't
we? Yeah, like, Ben was in the shop by himself, like, over in the corner. And me and my friend Jose were, like, on the other side. And I saw this guy come in. And he was so unassuming. Like, he looked like quite a guy who would normally be quite confident in himself. I don't know why, he just had the aura. But I could see he was shaky. And then just the fact that he, like, owned up to his stuff, I was like, I bow to you, that's brave. And he probably didn't even imagine that we thought it was that brave, but
he inspired me.
Yeah,
he inspired me to have talks with people and apologize to people and go there myself in my areas
so
of life.
Cathartic.
Yeah, it's incredible. Thank you, brother. Much love. Okay, next thing that you've learned in the first year of our relationship.
My next thing is that commitment is a beautiful thing. For me, commitment was always a very scary thing. Having said that, I've always been in relationships. So since I was like 15, I've been in relationships.
Same, back to back.
Back to back. But I don't think I ever committed, because I really did always think that I would have like a really big feeling. And even when I was really in love with somebody, like really in love with somebody, I remember times being like, I know I'm not going to marry you. Like, I'm so in love with you. Like, I really am, with your soul, with who you are, but you're not the person I'm going to marry or, like, be with. Like, this ideal of marriage as well is a whole thing.
Well, marriage being the aim for our
society.
Goal.
So I was always, like, looking at that. And then when we met, you were, like, someone... It just very quickly became very evident to me that I saw, like, a big future, like, a big, long future together in a place where I was never expecting it, like... I never expected this to be, like, Ben would be the person that I would share this with. I didn't really know Ben.
And actually had blocked me on Instagram.
Imagine. but yeah, and I think the more I like to, like, when I'm with a partner, sometimes I can, like, separate myself emotionally from them, or, like, try all these weird tactics that my pain body uses to kind of stop me having to commit, because when you commit, you really learn, and commitment is growth. Like Aubrey Marcus in his podcast, he talked about how, like, a monogamous relationship, like a one-on-one relationship with somebody, is like a yoga practice. It's like every single day you meet that practice.
Yeah, and you show up
and you learn so much, and it's so rewarding. And at the moment, like, I don't know, I've really learned that in this relationship, is like, what I give to this relationship, I get out of it. And what I give to you, I get out of it. And I think just that commitment for me is such a huge thing. And I feel so at peace with it. Like, I'm like, wherever I am in the world, whatever's happening, I'm not looking for anything more shiny or more exciting or more anything. Yeah. It's like, you are the only person I want to be with. And that's heaven for me because I haven't experienced it.
Yeah. I think I in my previous relationships was diving in and falling head over heels in love every time. It's quite a Piscean thing. and so although I never really considered whether or not I'd want to get married, I was always loyal and to my own detriment. Pisces also find it really difficult to cut people off when they, even though they know it's time. And in a couple of my relationships, we got back together after a week and then cut it off again and then back together because I couldn't face the music.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you say, with our relationship, it was neither of us were in a position. In fact, the discussions that we were having were that each of us were going to be as single as possible for as long as possible.
When we first met and I was calling Ben brother.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, like, how are you enjoying being single? Yeah, I just want to stay single. Yeah, me too.
Cool. Yeah, we were both having the best time ever, supposedly. Yeah, our pain bodies were having the best time ever.
I don't know. I was just like, I'd come out of a really hectic relationship after 2 years of like trying to get out of it, but not knowing how. And I think that I really didn't want a relationship. Yeah. That's why this was so crazy.
And I think what my previous relationships are, I've kind of been going back through and sort of assessing my previous relationships and seeing where there's patterns emerging, excuse me, and where this is where things are new, you know, what's old and what's new and what's right and what doesn't work. And the main difference I think that you bring to this relationship, or that is, you're forcing me in a sense to like step the fuck up. Because now that I feel like, I'm like, holy shit, this is what love is. Like this, I feel like my whole life so far has been me trying to figure out what love is. And now I really feel like I'm beginning to understand it. And when you talk about commitment, I think it starts with like commitment to yourself. So for me, commitment to my relationship with you is really commitment to myself, because I know that in order to be the best partner for you possible, I have to be the best version of me possible. Mm. And so that's the reality with everybody in every situation. I was unknowingly choosing partners that I knew were loving me in like a passive sense, where nobody was going to be demanding that I be the best version of myself, otherwise I'm leaving.
Mm. I mean, I promise I don't say it like that.
No, she doesn't say it like that. No, she cracks the whip.
You must be.
No, but what an incredible situation to find myself in, where I am delving more and more into commitment for myself, because I know that it's helping me in my commitment to my relationship as well.
100%. And I think it's like, the more present we are in our lives, the more present we can be in our relationships. So whatever parts of our lives we're running away from, totally, or ourselves we're running away from, also we like bring that into our relationships.
For sure.
So we're both growing a lot and we're both learning a lot.
Yeah, and this whole like concept of growth and inner work and alternative this, that and the other, I can believe it, because I was very, very busy doing a lot of things for my whole life, avoiding such work.
Not even avoiding, maybe just not even knowing it existed.
Yeah, but subconsciously avoiding.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of subconscious stuff going on that pops up every now and then. I'm like, oh shit, I've been doing this whole time, or avoiding that, or making sure that this is happening so I can avoid that. And now that I'm diving right into it head first, the whole point of this podcast and the reason I started this New Perceptions podcast is because I'm literally documenting for my sake as much as anybody else's, because I'm, as you well know, and anybody who receives voice notes knows from me as well, I'm a verbal processor. So like,
Ben likes to speak. I love
to chat about, like, I think that's also a Piscean thing. We love to go deep with people straight off the bat. I'm like, how long have you got, bro?
We just met. You don't even ask how long you've got. You'll just get a 10-minute voice note.
You'll get it. Yeah, you'll get it.
Love it.
So yeah, the New Perceptions podcast, this is all about not just my journey, but my new perceptions, my insights into what I think is now important. Because I used to think kayaking was really important and the Olympics and winning stuff. And I used to think it was really important to have a lot of subscribers and to be making lots of money and to be doing this, this, and this. And now, after having tried a whole bunch of those things, yeah, those things are pretty important sometimes to some people occasionally. But this podcast is about the stuff that is the most important to me. And I think to other people who are struggling to find happiness in doing all those other things. And then I think if you find your own truth and talk about things like finding your truth, finding your purpose, and your missions, and the missions that you make, like the things that you do, if they're aligning with your truth and your purpose, then they become an absolute joy. And I think my kayaking and my YouTube and my photography and my creative side, and like a lot of the stuff that I've excelled at in my life and put a lot of time and effort into, and have been, in inverted commas, successful at, have been born of genuine enthusiasm. So they have been the exact correct things that I was supposed to be doing at those times, to the degree that I was supposed to be doing them to and committing to them. Everything was exactly how it's supposed to be, because I would never have been able to achieve those things if there wasn't some sort of importance to them being as part of my journey, you know?
100%.
And that's another thing that I'm working on a lot recently, is like loving my previous self, like my pre sort of, I hate the word awakened, because it's like,
it's got such a cliche attached to it. Because
yeah, you imagine a whole life as an awakening. And if you want to think about it as like waking up in the morning, from the moment that you start to leave REM sleep to the moment that you like have a shower, that's your whole life. Like, it takes a long time to the word awaken just kind of, I think, associates with like a quick, like, oh, quick. Now I got it. I'm awake now. Yeah. It doesn't work like that. There's so many layers to it. So awakening is not like my favorite word, but just like gaining awareness.
New perceptions.
New perceptions. T-shirt coming soon. Actually, are you guys interested in like a new perception t-shirt? That would be quite kind of cool if we made a cool design and collaborate with an illustrator. That'd be
rad. Always make cool designs.
Thanks, baby.
You see some of the designs Ben like works on, I'm always like mind blown by like the things.
I'm improving my drawing and my illustration.
That's unreal. That's so, so cool to see.
Thanks, Pickle.
I've kind of gone through my list.
You've gone through your whole list?
Well, I only had 5.
Shit, I've got like 10.
I know you made 10. You broke the rules.
Okay, well, I think it's my go anyway.
Okay.
Here's a good one. I've got 2 more good ones. Can I do 2?
Yeah, babe.
Truth expressed is medicine.
Ooh.
Don't take things personally. Communicate effectively and expect an inner child reaction, then repeat.
Yo, babe. That's what you've taught me. You're a psychologist?
No, this is what you're teaching me, baby.
Wait, let me read that. Truth expressed is medicine.
Expressed is medicine. I've heard that all over the place, but I think it's genius because, and it kind of ties into a few other bits and pieces. I mean, the whole thing ties in. So this is about relationships. Everything ties in. But sometimes when you talk to me and tell me exactly what I need to hear, not what I necessarily want to hear, that's medicine. Like,
that's a really hard medicine. Truth expressed is medicine. From like both, yeah. For anyone.
And I've gone my whole life really struggling to express truth, because I know that it isn't always what people want to hear. And then I also, if I treat other people that way, I'm also treating myself that way as well.
That's really true.
So I'm not speaking truth to myself. I'm just convincing myself the whole time that the opposite is in fact true.
That's huge.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely been a huge thing for both of us, like giving someone you love, like telling someone you love something they need to hear but don't want to hear. And normally you'll get, like Ben said, an inner child reaction, which is their like kickoff. So like if Ben was confronting me about not washing up enough, for example.
Every day. Jokes.
Jokes, getting better. Getting better, I swear. I'm trying. He needs to tell me that so I can grow, but he would expect a reaction from me that is like, I'm reactive, I'm defensive, because I like, it's like me growing, it's growing pains.
Well, nobody wants to be told that they don't do the washing up enough. Everybody likes to be told that they're doing everything perfectly and that they're really with easy everything to live in life.
Yeah, and with everything in life.
Yeah.
You want to be told that you're doing everything perfectly.
Yeah, and the first thing I get back usually is like, well, you didn't do the washing up also this one time. And that's it in a child reaction.
And so it continues.
Yeah.
But then you just keep repeating and learning from that place.
Mm-hmm. What's a good inner child reaction that I give you to some medicine that you recently have given me?
You're putting me on the spot here. Any you can think of?
I'm trying to think right now. I'm pretty perfect, so it's...
I think sometimes I don't know exactly what I'll say, but maybe I'll make a comment on how you're dealing with something emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I think you're learning to take time to process things, but sometimes Ben will be feeling something and I know he's feeling something, but he won't say anything.
Yeah.
So he'll like become quite like disconnected, or I feel this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I start wondering if it's me, but it's not. And then sometimes when I point that out, the reaction I get is like,
either this is like, just how I process things.
Yeah, this is just how I process things. Or it could be like, I'm working out which parts of myself I want to leave behind. Like, I don't know. You know, sometimes that defense, the defense mechanism can be like, this is a part of me I want to keep. And I'm like, I'm not trying to get you to get rid of anything.
Yeah.
But that defense of like trying to protect.
It's quite clear that's not serving
yourself
you.
From growth.
Yeah.
Sometimes we all kind of do that.
Yeah, protecting yourself from growth. Is a real thing.
That's crazy, because like on the other side of growth is more happiness, but sometimes we protect ourselves so much because we think the growth is going to be so painful, and what actually becomes more painful and more stagnant is not growing.
Yeah. And it's the, I go through it fairly frequently because it is difficult to understand like what parts of me do serve me and what parts of me aren't serving me, and what parts have served me in the past and what parts haven't served me in the past. What do I keep? What do I leave behind? It kind of feels like I'm having to pack for a really long journey and I can't take everything with me. it's weird to think about the idea that like I'm going to drop something completely.
And you teach me in that way. It's like also sometimes if I call Ben out on something and then he's like, no, but what about this? And then I kind of get it thrown back in my face and realize that actually I need to learn something. So it's like, what's nice is that we're both aware that this process is happening of like learning, growth, sharing. And so it's no biggie if there's like a little bit of a disagreement or a little bit of a like, disagreement in things, because it's that like resistance and that uncomfortable space and that kind of like friction that is causing this ultimate growth, making us both happier within ourselves and with each other.
That's a good example I found in my memory, if you want one. You remember when we were at Mojo the other day?
Mm-hmm. Mojo is like a big market with loads of different food stalls.
Just down the road from us. We were all there getting food, getting dinner. Mm-hmm. And I think we just got back from the UK and I was on the verge of tears for pretty much the whole morning. Just, can't remember why. But I ordered my pizza and then I sat like scrolling through some message requests on Instagram, like reading all you guys' messages to me. And that's sometimes where I dip in for a little bit of love, and I'll go and find a couple of messages that are really nice and read them and be like, okay, everything's good, people do like me. And you came straight over to me knowing that I was having a bit of a morning. Mm-hmm. And you were like, don't self-sabotage yourself, don't go into your messages, don't self-sabotage. And I just looked at you and I was like, I am not self-sabotaging. was like, I have awareness now. You told me about awareness. Now I have it. Now go away. Now you've ruined it. And then I went and had a cry.
That was such a good reenactment.
Oh, it was so stressful.
So funny though. And I'm like, ooh. And then I'm like, did I say something wrong? Is it blah?
No, so, you're just trying to help because you're like, please don't self-sabotage. But I'm like, let me do my thing. Let me have a cry.
Yeah. And then in the end, we triggered the cry anyway, so it's all good. But exactly. Anyway. Get it, baby.
I got a cough.
It's okay.
And I'm hot now because I did a cough.
Oh, it's okay. Okay, if you could sum up.
Hang on.
Are you going to pause?
No, I'm just seeing how long we'll be going for.
Like this. There you go.
Okay, great. I need a drink. Thanks.
I only have a little bit left in there. I actually sometimes on the podcast that I listen to like when people like doing their things because I feel like
you think we should just leave this all in?
Yeah, because I do.
Okay, great. That means I don't have to edit it.
Yeah, but I feel like it's like you're in the room and they are in the room with us.
I got a little bit overexcited reenacting that moment.
I love it.
And now I got a tickly throat. Welcome to Real Podcasts. Unedited.
Yeah. So I was going to just say, if you could give one word right now, how you feel in our relationship after very nearly 1 year, what would your one word be?
Confidence.
Hmm.
I didn't really think that through.
No, but I loved that. I love how quick that came through for you.
I mean, there's obviously multiple words that I'd love to string together, but...
No, I like that.
No, confident. I'm super confident in our ability to, together... tackle anything. I feel like we can take on anything.
Mm-hmm.
I feel.
And universe, that's not an invite to give us anything.
No. No, I'm just very confident in that. I'm confident that this is the right thing. You know, sometimes when you get into a relationship and you having, if there's a bit of a lack of awareness and you're triggering each other's inner child and having little arguments and not understanding why all that's happening, you can take it super personally, which was another one of my thingies that I wrote down. Another thing that I've learned. Let me find it. Basically, not to take things personally, and like I was saying, if in a relationship people are butting heads and they lose confidence in the relationship because there's conflict, and of course there's always going to be conflict. If there's no conflict, that's a red flag in itself. There's nobody's perfect, and there's going to be moments where you're going to be feeling some kind of resentment for the other person, and it's usually your pain or your inner child that's coming up. But to have confidence in a relationship whereby you know that stuff will come up, but it's supposed to.
And even when it does, like, it's easier said than done. But let's say you have a disagreement, and obviously in this podcast it probably sounds like we have a lot of those, but like this year has really been a tumble dryer for us working out our own stuff. But let's say you have a disagreement or an argument, or like something comes up, one of you gets triggered. It's not going to immediately be resolved because it takes time for that person or one person to really work out, like,
Where did that come from?
Is that my shit? Is that your shit? And so sometimes you end up in bed facing opposite ways at night. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, one of the biggest pieces of advice my grandma gave me, I once like emailed her and was like, if you could give me like, what are your biggest pieces of advice in this life? She said, never go to bed on an argument. Like, just sort it out. Or at least like, have like a safe word, because so the other person knows, because I sometimes used to get in a panic if I had an argument with someone, because in my household I didn't see very many arguments, and that wasn't necessarily a good thing. You know, nothing's perfect.
Is that because you didn't know how to resolve them?
No, I just wasn't ever around arguments because my parents were very steady, but also like I think did that very separate from us, which was really good because we were very sheltered, but also didn't give me an the ability to handle them. Mm-hmm. So when I used to have arguments in partnerships, I get really freaked out that the other person was going to leave me. I thought it was like the worst thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Even with friends, like still to this day, I struggle to have arguments or disagreements,
sure,
which come from sometimes speaking the truth.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just a natural part of growth. And obviously if it's happening all the time, 24/7, and you're really clashing with each other, you'll know if you have the feeling that it's not the right person or it's not the right place, then, you know, take a step back and really look at that and make a move from there. But I think for me, I have such a deep knowing that this is the right thing, that those conflicts, I literally just see them as growth.
Yeah. They're part of the healing process. Mm. Yeah. I think it's important to mention that we don't actually argue like cat and dog.
We really just love,
I think it's the kind of the medicine of this podcast is to discuss the not so easy parts of a relationship, as well, which is this topic of the things that we've learned from being together. It's like, yeah, there's loads of really nice things that I've learned, but the real juicy stuff that Ella's taught me and that we've been learning together
comes the hard way.
Arrives in ways that aren't necessarily comfortable.
And like, yeah, we were talking about it, and I remember you were saying like, it's so crazy because this has been both the best and like quote unquote the worst or the hardest year of my life. Mm-hmm. Like it has that duality to it, you know,
totally.
Like the hardest year of my life and the easiest year of my life. And like, yeah,
for sure. It's been the hardest because I've been putting a lot of faith in, faith in sort of practices and lifestyles and things that we do now that are second nature to me now, that before to me were completely weird and you wouldn't have been my friend if you did that near me, because I was so skeptical and I was that guy that I needed proof, give me facts, like what does science say about it, like I was totally sold down the road. And thanks to partly my education, sort of eliminating all other options. So in that regard, that the submission has been bittersweet. It's been a really difficult submission, but when I do finally sort of let go and allow myself to not know stuff, it's okay to not know things, then it's sweet. And then life flows a lot better and you learn a lot more. But yeah, it's been a year.
You can say that again.
We're going to have a good little celebration, aren't we?
Yeah, we need to work out what we're going to do.
Maybe we should go camping.
Yeah, we should do something.
After Africa
Burn, I'm like, I don't want to go camping.
Yeah,
I want to go somewhere
camping
luxury.
Africa Burn, by the way, is an art and music festival.
For a week.
In the desert. The Karoo Desert, which is like 5 or 6 hours away from Cape Town. But there ain't nothing there but dust.
And they don't like, it's not like a festival where they provide you with food or even water. You have to be totally self-sufficient. There's no money. And so you work in the way of gifting. So if, let's say we ran out of loo roll, we needed loo roll, you go and gift someone who has loo roll something and they might give you loo roll.
So it's a really, really beautiful, interesting, huge community.
It's Burning Man, but the Africa Burning Man.
Yeah. It's a lot less commercial, I hear, compared to Burning Man. And certainly, I mean, there are a whole bunch of people taking photos and there's a lot of people capturing moments at Africa Burn. There's a little bit of Instagram culture there, which is discouraged. And certainly when I was dressed up in my couple of wild outfits, people would just walk past me and hold their phone up, look at their phone, not even look at me, take a picture of me and walk off. I'm like, you're not even going to ask me like my name. You're just going to take a picture of me and my outfit. They didn't even connect eyes with me. They didn't even make eye contact with me a couple of the times. It's really strange. So don't do that if you go to festivals. But this isn't the Africa Burn podcast. But what did we learn as a couple at Africa Burn? Maybe that's interesting.
Maybe that's like a whole hour
long podcast.
That's
a whole like 3-hour podcast.
I think maybe we can save that. Well, I don't know. But like, I would love to like really delve into that because that was a lot for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it was incredible.
It was more of the same though. Honestly, what we said in this podcast about growth, and it was just that again and again and again.
But in the desert
scenarios.
With wild outfits.
Desert, wild outfits, like camping, food, dust, dust storms. It's like a fast track learning.
Yeah, it was a test. It was a real test.
And even like the week before, because we had to get everything prepared. And like it was stressful because we had friends staying and like whatever.
Yeah, we were hosting people as well. So it was not just the same as going on your own. But yeah, if anybody was considering going to Africa Burn next year, definitely come through.
Yeah, I would highly recommend it.
It's not easy, but because it's not easy, the people that actually make it through and get there, I meet some of the most incredible humans and some of the most inspiring conversations with people that you never even knew existed.
It's all about
desert.
Like real deep human connection and taking away like our phones, and you have no signal for a week, which is amazing.
That was beautiful. Highly recommend taking a week offline.
Highly, if you can afford it. Yeah, it was really, really valuable.
How strange though, the concept that we think we're free in our lifestyle and what we do, but we actually need the internet. We're like slaves to the internet to earn our money, aren't we?
It gave me like a whole new perception on that, because I came back and I was like, I love the internet because I can use it. Like I can literally use it to build positive community, to make connections, but like use the internet, don't let it use you.
Totally.
It was like the big thing I've come back with.
Really?
And I still find that hard because you'll see like I'm sucking into my phone sometimes and I'm like, damn it.
It's using me again. Same. It wasn't quite as much of a shock as last year coming back to the real life. Last year's Africa Burn was quite different.
It was just before we met. No, yeah.
So this is my second Africa Burn.
Yeah.
But yeah, it took me a whole 24 hours to recover rather than 3 weeks last year.
You went hard.
Yeah, and then all sorts of huge chunks of my life started dissolving around me for many months to come after that Africa Burn. And not necessarily because of Africa Burn, but it was sort of marked the beginning of the end.
And obviously also with our like 1 year coming up now, like this is the time we met. So we decided to get together, like really be together.
Yeah.
Was like 3 weeks after Africa Burn.
So yeah.
Baby,
happy anniversary.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you so much for coming on this podcast again.
No, I love it.
I got so much amazing feedback from the last one we did together, our first one. And won't you take this opportunity, please, to tell my people about your podcast?
Aww.
Because your podcast is way better than mine.
It's not true.
It's
just
different.
Very different. My podcast is called Rewilding. You can find it on any podcast platform, Spotify, whatever. And it's specifically aimed at women, but also men can get a lot from it if you want to learn.
I've been listening to the podcast and I get a lot from it.
Yeah.
Trust me, guys who are listening out there, you want to listen to podcasts that are for women. It will help you understand them, or at least give you some kind of shed, some kind of light on the mystery of the woman.
Yeah, I promise you, they're probably really great for that as well. But yeah, I focus mainly on helping people come back to themselves, their true essence, who they are, and kind of the process that me and Ben have been on of rewilding. It's like, Ben's been rewilding.
Yeah, I've been rewilding. You've been rewilding me, and I'm rewilding myself. But some of your podcasts and the guests that you have on them are super insightful, incredible human beings, and your whole format and everything that you're doing there is amazing.
Thank you, babe.
Definitely go and check out Ella's podcast.
Yeah, come have a good time. It's really fun.
Rewilding
by Ella Grace Denton.
By Ella Grace Denton.
Thank you, babe. Nice check-in.
Yeah, thank you so much for that insightful conversation around the things we've learned over the first year together. As always, guys, please do tag me in your Instagram stories and let me know what you think of this podcast. Give me feedback. I want to hear all about it. And don't forget to go and check out Els on the old Instagram, and go check me out on the old Instagram. That's kind of where I'm doing most of my content at the moment. Generally, my plans are, because I know I need to like keep you guys up to date a little bit with what's going on. My plans are for the next couple of months, to stay in Cape Town and shoot and work and get into routines. So that's what you'll be seeing on my Instagram. If you come and follow me, check it out. Thank you everybody for all the continued support that you show me, and stay tuned. I know I keep saying it, for more merch. There's some coming soon. Hopefully next week.
It's really, really nice.
It's looking like a really cool design.
Guys, I can't say it enough. The design is really nice.
Thank you so much, baby. Okay. This is the end of the podcast. I love you guys so much. Peace.